Howdy, Johnny, everyone. This is Professor Amin-Ra, along with Joe Hembrick, who won't be with us this afternoon. He's taking care of some personal business. But we want to say welcome. We hope you enjoy this presentation. Say Asante Sana to the Community Education Network for providing us this forum. This is a forum called Conscious Corner, and where we speak truth to Black people about what's really going on in our lives and our struggle for social and cultural liberation. And we enjoy taking a hindsight, a foresight, and an insight on critical issues that affect Black people in America and in the world, in the diaspora. So without further delay, we're going to get started. I'm going to start by always, I learned this from the Culture Center. We talk about some of the positive things that African people are doing because we always sometimes get hung up and talking about what people are doing to us, shootings and things of this nature. And sometimes we don't pay attention to some of the things that illustrate our excellence, our ability, despite all the racism and the cancel culture and the political white right wing and voter suppression, there's still Black people that are doing excellent things. And I want to start. I tried to send these pictures to the email, but I don't think they got there. But there's a sister named Cassidy Parnell. She's been accepted into 100 colleges and had been offered $4.5 million in scholarships. And she's out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She went to Baton Rouge High School and Community College at the same time. And that's a straight A student. And this is just beautiful for her to get that. Then I want to also talk about these other individuals that Jonathan Walker out of Florida. Out of Florida. He was accepted into 27 colleges. And he meant $14 million in scholarship. And then at the same time, there's a sister named Torona Latte, Toriana Latre. She's an immense $1.379 million in scholarships. And then there's this other sister that won a lawsuit in Texas she refused. She's in high school. This happened in 2017, and she filed a suit then. She refused to stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance. And after that, the teacher would bully her and try to humiliate her in class when she wouldn't do it. So her parents and her filed a suit, and they just settled it for $90,000, and the school district is going to pay it on behalf of the teacher who abused her. That's struggle and that's achievement. And her name was Mary Lay Oliver, and she just stood up and took a position and stood with the position and dealt with it. And so I just wanted to point out a few of those things that are very excellent with regards to that. And also the Texas Southern University, along with the Houston Texans football team, is going to provide a mentorship and stipends to Black faculty and Black students provide them with a form of leadership training and how to deal with gentrification and all the issues that they face in Texas, along with the Black church that is going to help Black people buy homes, and this major Black church buy homes as well as teach them how to deal with their economics and how to get their business straight so they can qualify to buy homes. And then they're going to buy some of the houses themselves to and build apartments or property and build apartments so that they can have a low-income home. That's the type of struggle that you generally don't hear about. And then there's the Quakers in Philadelphia, this Quakers church is going to give $500,000, $50,000 allotments to various Black people to own property as a form of reparation. So these are some of the accomplishments and achievements. It comes from struggle. Some come from hard work and being focused to achieve, because most people don't really hear about the excellence and the beauty of young people achieving. They think, you know, the news are always focused on if a Black young man or young lady is shooting somebody, but they don't talk about the ones that are making achievements and contributing to the intellectual wealth of us as a people. The more of our people that get degrees and get education, our vocational skills, that contributes to the vocational wealth and intellectual wealth of us as a people. And so that's very critical that we point these things out. So I just wanted to point that out. This other thing is the Michigan shooting in Grand Rapids. I tried to send the video to Rasha Key of this young man, Patrick, I think it's Leole. He was stopped for having paper plates, and it comes out that, you know, that he was on it, that nothing was wrong. But he ran from the police. The police chased him and tried to tase him. He grabs the taser, him and the police fighting. And then the police get on top of him and shoot him in the back of the head. And he's dead over a minor traffic. And there's all type of options the police saw. He didn't even have to chase him. He had the car, and there was another person in the car. And when he was chasing him, the video was working fine while he was chasing him. Then when he got ready for the shooting, all of a sudden the video is camera on his body camera goes blank. But the person that was riding with Brother Patrick videoed the shooting, and most people are calling it an execution. But the masses are demonstrating in Grand Rapids the way they were trying to get some momentum, like George Floyd, and those are the issues that we're looking at. So I want to ask Rasha Key to play the video. This video is from South Africa. And it's saying, and the title of the video is Africa Stands with Russia. So could you do that, Rasha Key, on the share screen?
Okay, Professor Ra, I think I have the other video too that you, I pulled okay. it up.
Patrick.
Yeah, which one you want first?
Well, let's go with Patrick.
Okay, I don't know which one it is, but it is one of the videos.
Okay,
let me put that up. Here. Okay. You hear Professor Ross?
Yeah. We could hear it. We stopped.
Yeah, hey, stay in the car! Stay in the car!
Nelson and Griggs.
Stay in the car! Get in the car! Dude, I'm stopping you. Do you have a license? Do you have a license?
For what?
I'm stopping you. Do you have a license?
What done?
Do you have a driver's license? Do you speak English?
Yes.
Can I see your license?
What are you want?
The plate doesn't belong on this car. Do you have a license or no? No, no, no. Stop. Stop. Put your hands around. Stop. 1915. Got one running. Northbound.
One running northbound. Additional units, Nelson and Griggs.
Okay.
Stop! Stop!
Okay.
Get your hands behind your back!
Okay. What are you doing?
Let go of the taser!
Now, the issue was that some officers say that the officer shouldn't have even started chasing. There was another person in the car. He had called for bag up. He should have waited. And over a minor issue of a license plate. And then there's others that say that once you shoot a taser twice, there's no more taser. So it doesn't pose a threat, even if a person is trying to get it as a taser, though, and that he had shot it twice. And so that didn't pose a threat. And the other thing is that his body camera went dead, and then he gets on top of the man and shoot him in the back of the head. So, Mashinda, how did you hear about this?
Yes. Yeah, I heard a little bit about it. Not just kind of how you described it or what was seen on the video. And, so when you critique the video, I mean, you know, you get pulled over, you get out the car. So that's dumb, okay? Unless you got something in there or you want it or something, you ready to cut out anyway. Well, you probably wouldn't stop if that was the case, but... So get out the car, say what you're doing, you know, why you stopped me, you know, I mean, but that was, you know, on the cop, you know, he was poorly, he didn't know what he was doing, you know, he's stupid. I mean, he knew what he was doing with that gun, but the point is to put him in that situation to shoot the dude, you know, all that could have been avoided, you know, I mean, you, first of all, he's letting the guy grab his taser from him, you know. And, you know, you don't have any backup. Somebody's running, so you're chasing him. You know, so you're chasing him. If you was going to kill him, maybe you're setting up a situation so you can kill him. You just don't want to kill him running away. So you get him in a little fisticuff and whatever. That could have been the theory there. Or he's just dumb because he's putting his own life in jeopardy just by chasing somebody by himself. Then he's that close with the taser. The dude could have had a gun. He didn't know if that dude, he didn't check the dude. He didn't search that guy, you know, not initially. You know, he didn't do none of that. So I'm just saying it was ridiculous. You know, that's the way I look at it. It was just, you know, it didn't make sense on both sides, you know. But should the guy have been shot, you know, man, we know that people get shot all day long for no reason. You know, it didn't have to, you know, go to that level, but it did, you know, so, but I don't have any real further comments. It's just, you know, again, I wasn't there, but, you know, I have my speculations.
What about you, Roger Key?
Well, I'm into codes. So when you're being stopped by police, you need a code so you can, you know, presumably survived the encounter with the police. I kind of roll with Neely Fuller on this. He says, don't fuss, don't fight, don't flee. He said, and then hope that you don't get killed, and then you'll be able to deal with it in the court system, you know, when the time comes. You know, you do everything to preserve your life. And I have a code when I'm stopped. So I use the code, and I usually get on my way afterwards. I'm here, so it works. But we have to, as any individual, even a person of color, you have to be smart enough to try to get out of the situation. And you know that through history, that outcomes are not well when you do certain things. And we have to change our approach to when we're being stopped. And, you know, like, I mean, I listen to Neely Fuller so much. He said this, be prepared to get killed when you're being stopped by a police officer. And that's extreme, but I understand what he's talking about. And we don't ever want to be shot by a cop, but we have to be smart in the encounters that we have with them. And that way, you know, especially when you're at a disadvantage, just have to be smart and you know, but that's not saying that you won't, something won't happen to you. So it's codes we have to develop, and we're in a racist situation. That's my thoughts.
Well, there's a thing. He only been in the country about 3 years or so. He's a Congolese. He speaks limited forms of English. His parents when they did the TV interview, they spoke in Swahili. They needed a translator. They got out of the Congolese situation to get away from oppression and violence. A police says, Emmanuel said, you do not shoot a fleeing suspect. You let them run. Unless there's a felony or that you found a body or something like that, then you pursue. But if for a minor ticket or something like that, you don't chase people, you know, for even for theft, you know, you don't. You know, why would you kill somebody over something? They stealing. The court don't even sentence you to death. And then generally they reduce it to a misdemeanor. You know, especially if you ain't got over $500 worth of stuff. But the point is that they got a challenge. You know, the officer was yelling, get your hand off the taser, but was the taser really a threat? And second, why'd you chase him anyway? There was another passenger in the car. You had backup coming. Why are you running after somebody? Like Mincinda say, why would you put your life in jeopardy? You know what I mean? And you can say it's stupid and things of nature, but it could be. You know, black people, when I tell you to do something, you do it. You know, and even if that was a white boy, would he have done it that way? And so those are the issues that people raise. The other thing is that the only reason the video was released was because the people struggled to get it released. They wasn't going to release it. And they had all this information. I think it took 3 weeks, three some weeks before they released the video. Because they knew it was wrong. So you gotta look at those issues also. You can't, you know, I understand what you're saying, Rasha Key and Masinda, that the brothers should have just hey, I don't have no license, or whatever. Give me my ticket. You understand, or whatever. And you may have some credence there, but we can't blame the victim for being murdered in broad daylight. And, you know, it's like saying, well, the woman didn't have on that short skirt, I wouldn't have raped her, you know. No. Well, we try to tell y'all don't be wearing them sexy clothes. You're asking for trouble. Well, that don't fly. And that's the same way, because somebody run. And then you get up on them. They couldn't grab the taser unless you got up on them. They sure wouldn't grab the taser when they took off running. The taser didn't become an issue until he grabbed him. You know, so, you know, and you know, it's just ridiculous that they would probably explain away the officers on suspension with leave with pay. But we'll see what happens. All right. So, Asante, for y'all comments. And I just say I really appreciate the struggle of the mother and the family and the people that are out there marching and demonstrating that feel that this was an unnecessary death of another Black person. And that's what's going on in Grand Rapids, Michigan right now. Okay, Roshki, you want to show the other video?
Russia imposed sanctions on apartheid South Africa. You are violating the rights of Black people. The same Russia. But when the people were shot here in Sharpeville, America never imposed sanctions on apartheid. America worked with apartheid. America supported apartheid. America never punished apartheid for violating the rights of Black people. Today, we must choose the side of NATO and America against Russia, which was with us during the difficult times. Batho ba bolaiwa every day, ba bolaya ke America, ko Afghanistan, ko Iran, ko Iraq, ko Syria, even in Palestine today, their rights are violated by Israel. Palestinians are being killed on daily basis. Do we never heard a call that we must sanction Israel? But today, because a white man is being killed in Ukraine, all of us who are being called, hey, sanction Russia, denounce Russia. We will never denounce Russia because Russia was with us during difficult times. Waibona AK-47 that we used to liberate ourselves, it was from Russia. It was given to us by the Russians to come here and kill the Boers who are killing our people with an automatic rifle called AK-47. Russians did not only support us through lip service, they equipped us with weapons. Russia gave us money to fight apartheid. Russia took our leaders, Ayabaisha Skolo, many of the people who are leading South Africa today, like Lindiwe Zulu, like Tony Engeni, they went to school in Russia. Why did Russia take them to school? It was preparing them. Russia was believing that one day South Africa will have a Black government and a Black president. Therefore, we need to prepare Black people today for the future. Russia never isolated us. Today, we are here to say to NATO, we are here to say to America, we are not with you. We are with Russia. And today we want to say to Russia, thank you for being there when it was not fashionable to be there. And do not doubt our support, Russia. Kubo Peskwa, teach them a lesson. We need a new world order. We are tired of being dictated to by America. America wants to turn the whole world into an American village. We are not an American village. We are independent from America. And Russia is going to lead that way to demonstrate to the whole world that we don't care about America. We are here at Lomo Dam to say to America, we are showing you a middle finger today. You are on your own and we are not scared of you. We will liberate the whole world through the leadership of Russia. So comrades, never be confused. There are Nazis there in Ukraine who are pushing an agenda that seeks to undermine democracy. Why is NATO expanding its military presence even when it's told to not do what you are doing? Because when they extend their military presence, they threaten the security of Russia. Today, here in Southern Africa, we've got an American military base in Botswana, which threatens our security. That American base in Botswana, if they were to fly a fighter jet from that base to Union Building, it will take them 2 minutes to bomb the Union Building. Why do you allow them to have a military base in Botswana? Because no one can prepare to defend himself in 2 minutes. Once America declares a war and says we are attacking South Africa, they will do it in 2 minutes and finish the Union Building. That's why that military base in Botswana, it must be closed, because it's a security threat to the whole Southern Africa, the region that belongs to African continent. America goes around all over the world establishing military bases. We must refuse America's presence everywhere because they want to convert us into their puppets. Where were they, these noisemakers, when NATO and America went to kill Muammar Gaddafi in Libya? No one spoke about human rights. No one spoke the nonsense they are speaking, because Muammar Gaddafi was not a white person. Do not side with hypocrisy.
So how you feel about that, Rasiki?
Man, that's some real talk right there. I don't know. Well, I guess Russia helped with the apartheid, you know, helping them against apartheid. I guess that wasn't a bad thing. But, he was speaking the truth. Now, Ukrainians are white. Palestinians are not. You know, I'm definitely not a big fan of supporting these type of missions that, you know, America picks and chooses what they want to support. And they support the things that are beneficial to them and other white folks. When it comes to people of color, it's an issue. So I'm with the brother on what he was saying.
Masinda?
Oh, that dude was a fire plug, man. That guy was, he was dynamic. He was saying Russia. He was pronouncing that Russia. But anyway, yeah, he's got a point. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I mean, he, if Yeah, I'm not. When was that? When did he speak on that? When was that speaking engagement?
It was on the Charlottesville day when it, back in the 70s in Charlottesville. I think the Russian, I mean, the South African government shot 17 youth in Charlottesville. They were demonstrating unarmed, marching, and shot them down. They used to shoot them down all the time, but they shot these 17 youth down. I can't remember what date, but I can get you that. But it was this year for sure. And was speaking hard, but I can't remember what date it was, but it was this year for sure.
Yeah, well, he's like I said, he's making his point, you know, and again, it appears that he knows what time it is. You know, we happen to live here in this country and, you know, looking at it from the inside out. And they're looking at, a lot of them look at it from the outside. And sometimes they can see things that a lot of people can't see from the inside, you know. So it's just, but, you know, he was very adamant about his feelings. And, you know, it's like Rasa Key said, it's you know, America's, you know, they pick when they want to, they pick their wars, you know, who they're going to defend. You know, it's all about whoever's an ally or somebody, some country that America can benefit from, you know, have no interest in helping Black people. That's true. I mean, it's a known fact. I mean, but I mean, of course, you know, they'll say that they've helped Black people in general, you know. But the bottom line is, you know, I can't argue with the brother, you know. I can't argue with the brother, you know. He's got his point, you know, so.
Okay.
But I'm good.
From a moral and ethical standpoint, we must condemn the invasion and the slaughtering of civilians. No, you know, I'm not saying that they should, because they haven't ever admitted their guilt in dropping the bomb on Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and the other Japanese capital that wiped out, you know, close to 900,000 people. And those were civilians. They argue that the Japanese dropped the bomb in Pearl Harbor, but they, you know, they dropped the bomb on a naval base, you know, not a civilian. And that was the capital of Japan. And then they made Japan never say, we will be your army for the rest of your existence and help you rebuild it. But from a moral and ethical standpoint, we have to be against the invasion of any country, sovereign country, right for self-determination. Russia argued that they posed a military threat, even though they have said they'll stay neutral and won't allow no American bases and none of that. But they want the land because they want to rebuild the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union broke up. A lot of the countries emerged as independent, and Putin wanted to get them back and rebuild the Soviet Union to what it was before it broke up. But the bombing of schools, hospitals by Russia is, as we condemn it for what America did to Iraq in Desert Storm, with smart missiles, and they bombed hospitals, they bombed power plants so people can have no electricity, and they did that, all that too. The soldiers was out in the desert. They didn't even go after them. They went to the capital and dismantled that. Not only that, you know, the history of America with the assassinations and setting up puppet governments all over the world. And so they want to, you know, they can show what Russia is doing to Ukraine, but they can't show what Israel is doing to the Palestinians. There's a complete blackout on Palestinians' news. And most of the news commentators support Israel are Jewish. And they have the networks. And they choose what they want to focus on. But if they have the cameras and go into the war-torn areas, and we're down here in this country, and bombs are going over our head. But when it comes down to showing what they're doing in Haiti and what they're doing in Palestine and how Israel make them have to have an ID card in order to move around in certain parts, what they did to Libya, Israel, in 1970-something. I blew a toy, that was artifacts, churches, mosques. And right now in Israel, the police went in and closed the mosques during, raided the mosques during Ramadan, beating up the people. All they had was sticks and they shooting and then they had to reopen it. But the point is that the contradictions are there. We're against any form of indiscriminate violence toward people. Murder and rape, and that's what the soldiers are doing to the Ukrainian people. But we can't excuse Ukraine for their racist policy toward Black people and their inability to speak out against and criticize other Western NATO countries that are exploiting resources. Right now, there's a move by a number of African countries to retrieve their artifacts and other material from European countries that took them out of their museums and their mosques and their things. And it's trillions of dollars worth of artifacts. And that's going on right now. So the contradictions are there. And we're against that, but we criticize the invasion and we criticize the abuse of civilians, kids, hospitals. But we also extend it to what's going on with that type of treatment of people all over the world. We're against all of it from being a moral and ethical people. And so I see the point that you're making, but you know, and as far as you know, we're in a paradox. You live in America, you want they saying, well, you know, your freedom is fragile, so we have to spend 3/4 of the budget on military stuff. You know, all of a sudden they're finding billions of dollars to send to Ukraine. But when it came down to helping the homeless, helping the impoverished, I ain't got no money. And who's making the money? Where they're buying the weapons from to send to Ukraine? From themselves, from the senators and congressmen that have stocks in military armament and weapon industry. I mean, you know, they said, we got to spend $8 billion. They don't tell you where they're spending it. They're not buying the guns from China. They're not buying it from Russia. They're buying it from companies turn into, when there's a war, companies stop whatever they were making and started making military stuff. Jackets, bulletproof jackets, helmets, everything. Those companies are making billions off of this military exercise to protect Ukrainians from their own brothers and sisters. You know, Ukrainians were Russians before they were Ukrainians. They shared the same language. They shared the same lifestyle. So anyway, it's a unique situation. And we have to condemn the invasion, but at the same time criticize the hypocrisy of America towards its own citizens. Student debt they could wipe out. All of that, but they can't find money for that. Relief, they're talking about sanctions against Russia. Well, it looks like the sanctions is hurting the citizens here with inflation, gas prices, and food prices skyrocketing. And so, how is that helping? Because everybody take advantage of war, all the industry, the oil industry, the energy industry, the military complex. And, they sending drones and sending tanks and sending everything they can. And then they have to replace them. So they tell NATO countries, if you send some stuff, we're going to pay. We're going to finance. We'll get it back to you. It's all about, to a certain degree, they stand there fighting to keep Ukraine from losing its democracy. If you believe that, when you and you don't spend a dime on stopping the voter suppression here, what kind of democracy do you have here? Here you are, shooting a man running in Georgia and about 15 states, voter suppression laws. But you ain't spending no money taking them to court. You know. So the hypocrisy is that you have to criticize both sides. It's a paradox, but that's the way it goes. Any response, Roger King?
I think you said it best, is hypocrisy.
Okay. This, what about you,
Mitch?
Go ahead.
Mitch. And he stepped out. I don't know what happened. Okay. Yeah. It's, I'll just say, it's just the intelligence about humanity. It's not even about humanity when it comes to this system. It's all about power and what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And that becomes okay, but not for me.
I got one more issue. Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, had a news conference today, and he said, relating to the subway shooting by Frank James, who called the police on himself. He didn't kill nobody, he just shot. They could have killed people, he's shooting. But nobody died as of yet. Eric Adams said, where is Black Lives Matter when Black people are doing the shooting? So he's equating Black people with white police. And that's what Black Lives Matter came into being, to stop police killings and vigilante killings of Black people.
Can you repeat that? You said Black Lives what?
Matter. He said, where were Black Lives Matter when black people are shooting black people? Why aren't they demonstrating against black people that's shooting black people? Or black people that's doing violence? You know, Black Lives Matter. And the issue is that there's no equivalency to Black Lives Matter. Machinda, I'm talking about Eric Adams, the New York mayor, had a press conference today where he asked a question pertaining to Frank James, the man that was charged with shooting up the subway. 13 people, I think, and others hurt too. Some hurt from just running. And he said, where's black, now he's a black mayor. He said, where's Black Lives Matter when black people are doing the violence against black people? Or, you know. So I wanted to get y'all perspective on that comment. So Machinda, you have anything to say in response to that question he raised? Do you think it's a valid question? Issue?
Well, yeah, I think any question is valid. You know, it's a valid question. You know, it's like, but, you know, as far as, you know, he's, you know, politically connected to his, you know, whoever side he's on, you know, I mean, everybody has an ideology. So whatever he projects, you know, whatever thoughts he projects in terms of, you know, where's Black Lives Matter? Just like he was the one that was, you know, defending the police department. Wasn't he one, he was defending the police department in terms of the shooting? And so, you know, so he's posturing politically, you know, basically, and, you know, putting out his thoughts on, you know, how he feels about it as the mayor, you know. But again, it's all, it's politics. And so he's, you know, kind of leaning away from the left and then going toward the middle or toward the right, you know, as far as his mindset, you know. So I don't know. He's in New York, so I don't know. I don't know if it's going to bode well for him. But at the end of the day, he's just another guy. He is a police chief, you know, of a big city, you know. So I think the media picks up that information, you know. And, but as far as my opinion, you know, I mean, you know, Black Lives Matter. I think there's positives and negatives in those organizations, you know. And, you know, but like you said earlier, you know, let's, you know, picking out the positive, somebody do something positive. You know, hey, let's applaud that and keep moving, you know, that kind of thing. Now, where are Black Lives Matter? Where is Black Lives Matter? Matters when, you know, well, like I say, that's just another organization, you know, so I don't think they're the cure-all and, you know, for everybody, you know, they have, they stand up, you know, they're politically connected, they have their, you know, constituency, and, you know, so. But like I say, it's just whatever good is in there, you know, it all come out in the wash. That's what I say. It all come out in the wash.
I think he was also pushing black on black crime as an issue too also. Rush Key.
Well, I don't think that needed to be said, in my opinion. Could have talked about something else versus putting Black Lives Matter in the situation. It's sort of like when you have the type of society we have, and you trying to speak in a humanistic way, it doesn't match the situation. So I think that he shouldn't have said that. He could have talked about something else, you know. He didn't have to put Black Lives Matter in the conversation. I don't think he should have did that. Because it, like you were saying, does it equate to, you know, it just wasn't, I don't think it was the proper context to mention something like that.
Well, that's the argument many people are saying, that one, for him to say that and equate Frank James with police sanctioned violence and supported violence against Black people, who got away with many murders way before Black Lives Matter, going all the way back past Emmett Till. He used to say, I thought he had something in his belt. I saw something shiny, so I shot him and killed him. Even though you shot him in the back. And police were never held accountable. According to some research, the first police department started in the South to suppress slave people enslaved that was rebelling and running away. He even passed laws, runaway slave law. And so that was for people that helped those that were enslaved, that they could get in trouble. So equate Frank James with police officers that killed Eric Garner and choked him to death, killed Michael Brown, with hands up, don't shoot. They're equated with George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, no knock. This recent no knock killing of a brother that the police said was justifiable because he reached for a gun, startled, and he shot him within seconds. Of no knock, you know, kicking in a door, and then announce, "We're the police." So it's a contradiction. They equate that they're two different issues. Black Lives Matter came into existence to stop police and vigilantes from killing Black people and getting away with it. That's how they came into existence in Ferguson, where they first got national recognition and the slogan. And so for him to equate that is wrong. Second, as Mashinda said, they just feeding a part of the constituency some red meat. And you don't talk about Black on Black crime. Because crime is crime. When the white folks in Vegas shot all them people, they didn't say white on white crime. When Hinckley shot Reagan, they didn't say white on white crime. Asians shoot Asians, Mexicans shoot Mexicans, they don't say Mexican on Mexican crime or Hispanic on Hispanic. Was a part of the demonization of Black people and got Black leaders and middle class people talking about Black on Black crime. Like, America is a crime industry. They produce crime. They came into being as a country to protect criminals. They passed laws that justify them taking land from the Native Americans. So it ain't stealing because we passed a law. Yeah, we can steal it. You know, we can take it. You know, they don't know what they're doing. God told them we can do this. But God didn't tell the Indians that you can do it. So those are the dynamics that we look at. And, you know, like Mashinda said, he's moving toward trying to appease the police as well as the white constituency. He did appoint a Black woman police chief. And some people say that he had some consciousness at one time. But it was poorly exhibited, as Rasha Key said. with that statement, equating Frank James with police killings and vigilante killings. So is any response? Okay, then, Roger Key, what about wins?
Let me share the screen. We got Harold Welton coming back on, and he's going to talk about more about Rochelle St. Q. McGee. He's his advocate for him to get him out of jail. So he's going to expound on that from the first time he came with Conscious Corner. So he's going to extend the message.
Okay.
So anybody for next week, Professor Ra?
I'm trying to catch up with Ronnie Foster. I'll let you know. I'll call him tomorrow. And I've been calling him, but he hadn't picked up. He may be in Africa again. So I'm trying to talk about his experience in Africa, 3 months. So, okay.
Right. Each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Have a good evening.
All right, then, Rasha Key. You take